Have you found yourself in a moment where you realize your passion may have changed?
Welcome to the Behind the Billboard podcast, a living, breathing, interactive conversation about getting better as a leader, a team, and as a person. We believe that success is all about people, and we're on a mission to help you grow. Here's your host, Chris Lindahl.
In this interview, I had the opportunity to interview a great friend of mine, Josh Newman of Kind Lips. Kind Lips is a lip balm company, but what I love about this company is the mission behind it, and it's to stop the bullying that happens in the schools, on social media, and pretty much everywhere in the world. So his anti-bullying movement has been making a huge difference. So enjoy the interview. Josh is an incredible person and a super humble leader. Welcome, Josh.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, I love it, man. So let's maybe take a step back for those people that don't know your story. Let's start back at the beginning, where you grew up, you know, what school looked like for you, and then obviously what you did after that and in your early days of the career, because I'm always interested in the journey more I am than like the finish line, you know? And so maybe kind of walk us through some of how this journey's went for you.
Totally. I was one of those kids in school that I was smart. I could do the work, but I was never challenged and I did not enjoy school. And it wasn't until after I finished school that I actually started learning how to enjoy learning. So grew up in Oklahoma, moved up to Wisconsin, Western Wisconsin in middle school, high school age, college at Eau Claire, went to college to be a special education teacher and was student teaching. And I had 4 weeks left of student teaching and I decided to quit and I had enough credits to graduate. But I realized with 4 weeks left of finishing my degree, getting certified to teach, I walked away from student teaching and college. And of course, my parents were upset. You're so close. Why don't you just finish? And I was like, I will never teach a day in my life. So why would I spend the next 4 weeks doing it? So my passions changing, seasons changing has always been something that's been happening. Left education, got into real estate. Didn't really enjoy it right away. Had some tough lessons I learned right away. And I'm like, this business is not going to be for me. And serendipitously ended up getting back into it a few years later. And it turned in at that point, I loved it. And it was something that I loved for 10 years.
I didn't know that you went for teaching. So did I.
Oh, really?
So I have two education degrees. I student taught and said, teaching isn't for me.
That's awesome.
It's funny how, things change and you just don't know in the moment. And what was interesting for me is like when I student taught, like it's always fascinating. Like that's the last thing you do before you graduate. And I think if that would have been one of the first things I did, I might not have went towards that career and get that degree. But there obviously had to have been some sort of passion that led you to multiple years in college to pursue teaching.
So when I started at Eau Claire, I went to in business, general business, because I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I had a good friend and he was going to be a special education teacher. And we signed up to do Special Olympics on a Saturday morning. And I went to the bowling alley in Eau Claire and did Special Olympics for 5 or 6, 7 hours that day. And that morning changed my life. And, working with people with disabilities and just seeing how happy and excited they were to show up and bowl and how proud they were. And it really, like, I was the one that was blessed that day.
I love like the whole volunteer, like give back angle of everything. But I found there's a lot of people that don't do that or haven't experienced it. And I think it's because of like fear. They don't know where to start. They don't know how they can make a difference. I've got a good friend of mine that told me that like, just go help more people, like go help more people and everything will be better. So for those that are listening that haven't stepped through in a moment of like volunteer or, sort of found a cause to support, like what sort of recommendations would you give to people that haven't done that yet?
Man, in my life, I started small. I think I learned by like just opening up doors for people. And that's one thing I still do. I will wait the extra 2 seconds, 3 seconds to open up the door for somebody. And sometimes people just walk right in and don't say anything.
Yeah.
And you kind of want to kick them, but you don't. And it's not about me opening up the door for them. It's about my heart and just consistently practicing, like trying to go out of my way to do nice things for people. So I think that's a good way to start. And then once that habit develops, then start, what are you passionate about? Whether it's animals, whether it's people, whatever cause it is, reach out to one and just put one foot in the door.
I love it. Yeah. Open doors for people. That's really good. That's a great takeaway. We've both been talking a bit about passion and I think some people listening are like, I don't know what I'm passionate about. What other things have you done along the way to like really dial in what your true passion is?
Yeah. So when my first go around with real estate, it didn't work out. And I bounced around a few different jobs trying to figure out what am I going to do.
So real quick, when you say it didn't work out, why didn't it work out?
Because I didn't make any money.
Yeah.
pretty much, and I had bills to pay. So I had to move on and go do something that could pay the bills.
Yeah.
And through this like 2 or 3 years of not being in real estate and bouncing around, I started learning about personality profiles of my own personality profile so that I could learn, you know, what is it going to be that I should do or what areas would my personality work well with. So when I started learning about personality profiles, Myers-Briggs, 5 love languages, different stuff like that, I started learning about who I was as a person. And that really helped me to understand that I was passionate about other people. So I started learning about other people's personalities and how can my personality profile relate well with other people's personalities. And then I developed this passion and love for people. And then when I got back into real estate, I think I was successful not because I enjoyed looking at homes. It's because I enjoyed people, getting to know them and truly trying to fit the right property with the right person.
It's interesting you say that. That's why I asked that question of why it didn't work the first time. I found a lot of times the money, you know, you mentioned, yeah, I didn't have the money and things like that. But I think that passion of like wanting to help people, when that truly comes out in anything that you do, that's where you really start to find success.
Yeah.
I know there are so many people that don't know why they're doing what they're doing. And I was at that point and you were as well. What types of things do you think someone could do, you know, whether it's journaling, writing things down, is it certain events, certain mentors? Where do you like dig deep inside and find those things?
For me, it's been a journey of change. So right now I'm in a season of reading. And 2 years ago, I was not in a season of reading. 4 years ago, I was in a season of reading and having mentors in my life. And I think it's really turning in for me. It's just been, what do I need to do? And what's good for me isn't always going to be good for you or good for the next person. But it's actually taken that time and attention to, you know, just being quiet and listening and like what doors are open to you? What do you have in front of you? So, you know, if you don't have any mentors in your life, go seek them out. Put some time and energy into finding that so that they can show you what they've done. So, you know, it's a lot easier to get from A to B by modeling somebody else that's already made that journey instead of trying to figure everything out on your own. So I think mentors is one of the things that helped me to get to be a lot faster.
Yeah. What's interesting about mentors is I didn't realize as I was, you know, I had my evolution through my company, I didn't realize how many people actually enjoy being mentors. I had this insecurity that like no one wanted to help me or talk to me. And so then I just didn't say anything. So for those of you that don't have a mentor, don't be afraid to ask. Because selfishly, a lot of mentors learn just as much, you know, at the same time. And like the challenges that you may be experiencing right now aren't universal to you. I mean, the challenges don't go away, whatever level of business or that you're in. Another thing that I've found about successful business leaders that are passionate is their sort of routine. So like you have certain things that like you do in the morning and like, what are those things that you do? Like, I'm interested in that.
Yeah, totally. So I wake up every morning between 6 and 6:30. I'm one of those people that don't need an alarm. So I just wake up. The first thing I do is I turn on a YouTube video, kind of a self-help or a church video. And I listen to that and it gets my mind going in the right direction with positivity right away. Listen to that for 30 minutes while I make coffee and just kind of sit down. And then I read, whether it's the news or journal, meditate. The first hour of my morning is all devoted to just me, no phone, no anything else, just myself. Once that's done, I go do 30 minutes in the gym just to get it out of the way every morning. And then after that, I've devoted that first hour and a half to 2 hours to myself. Then I'm capable to give as much energy as I need to everyone around me the rest of the day.
Everyone that I've interviewed so far and that I've surrounded myself with throughout the years has some sort of routine or moment alone. You know, I mean, it's just so important to have that time alone to reflect and do those things. And it recharges you too. Like we need that time. So if you're in a moment where maybe you're not passionate or, you know, maybe you're feeling a bit of burnout, like it's really how you start your day. You have to have some clarity. You shared a story the other day with me about the guy that was jogging in the morning,
yeah.
You know, and maybe just share that story. Cause I think it is like, I love those moments, you know, and also share, you know, what you wish you would have done in the moment that like ended up working out in the end.
Totally. So I think like because I've done so much, I put so much time and effort into working on myself and growing, the more I do that, the more I feel like there's opportunities that the world or universe gives to me to make a difference. And I'm seeing them on a different level now than I maybe saw 5 years ago. And so lately I've felt I've been seeing people and I just see them and I have all these random thoughts. I'm like, oh, I should help this person or I should go out of my way to do this. And I've been second guessing myself when I have these, and they're all positive thoughts. So The summer, did my meditation time, got out to do my exercise, went for a run down by the river. And as I was jogging, I came up behind a gentleman that had two canes and or two walkers with him and was trying to like walk as fast as he can. I could tell that he was exercising and out there doing it. It just like blew my mind away that, some mornings I complain about running and just doing it. And I see this guy who's got two walkers or two canes and he's still trugging along out there getting exercise. And I almost wanted to cry because I just felt so, he motivated me so much. And I was like, I need to go tell him how he impacted my life. And so I ran by him and I was just thinking this and I'm like, I should tell him, I should tell him. And I just kept running and I didn't stop. And so I continued to run and I thought like, well, I'll see him on the way back around and then I'll go say him. Of course, I didn't see him again. And I thought about him for 2 weeks. Every morning I went for a run, I was hoping that I would see this guy. And I thought I'd kind of just missed my opportunity to share that with him. And luckily, 2 weeks later, I saw him and was able to stop and just let him know the impact that he had made on my life. And he started crying. And it was a really special moment. And I think it encouraged him to continue to go do what he's doing.
Yeah, so. I love that story. I shared this with you, too. Like probably 4 years ago, I wrote down one of my big goals is I wish that in that moment that I would have done something different. And I think a lot of people listening can relate to that, where you're in that moment, your brain takes over and says, oh, no, you're going to be uncomfortable or it's going to be awkward or whatever. And you talk yourself out of not doing it just like you did on that run. And then you get home or, you leave and then you kick yourself and you can't stop thinking about it.
Right.
And you're so frustrated that you didn't do that in that moment. And I said to myself, I'm not going to do that anymore. Like when I'm in that moment, I'm going to step through that fear and I'm going to let someone know, whether they're doing something amazing or I love what they're doing, or I love what they look like or whatever it is, I'm always going to let people know what that is. And it's a really hard thing to do.
Yeah.
Like it's really difficult.
And I feel like the more that I step into that fear and do that, the more opportunities I get to step into that fear, but it also becomes less fearful because you know that you're doing good and good things are going to come from it.
That's right. I mean, and that's, as we talk about passion and those things, it's like that positive energy of putting that into the universe. Good things show up. You feel better. Like the people around you are happier. Like everything is better when you're complimentary to people around you and you actually share what you're truly thinking and you get that outside of your body.
Yeah. That was one of the first times, that I truly did it was when I was starting Kind Lips. And I had, just a tester tube that I'd made in my kitchen, this white tube, but I knew what the intention of it was. And I was at a local restaurant, Brasa, and I was waiting for some takeout food. And I saw these two women sitting there having dinner, and they're 65, 70 years old. And my thought was like, these are really beautiful older women. And I put my tube of Kind Lips on, applied it on my lips, and I was just like, I need to tell them. And then I was like, well, that's awkward. That's going to be weird. I shouldn't do that. And starting to sweat. And so I get my food and I walked by them and I'm having all this self-talk. And then I turned around and I walked back to him. I'm like, I know this is strange. I just want to let you know that you're both beautiful women. And I just thought that while I was over there waiting for my food.
I love that.
And I turned away and left. And then that I just wanted to let them know that that was a positive thought that I'd had about them. Hopefully it impacted them in a good way. They didn't bite me. They didn't scratch me. They didn't, and I left and I survived. And that getting through that first moment helped me to do it again and again and again. And then, seeing the guy with the canes. So.
Yeah, that is very difficult because there's always that like, am I going to be the weirdo that said that someone just looked good? Like, are they going to think that I'm like hitting on them? Or like, I mean, there's all those things that go through your head. And I'm just proud of you for doing that because those are not easy things to do. But you mentioned Kind Lips, which is what I'm really, really interested in. So that's your, that's your company that you're running today. But I want to go back to like really like that first moment that you thought about Kind Lips. It wasn't Kind Lips at the time, but when you thought about the concept of when you start thinking about that.
It was honestly about 2 weeks or 2 years ago today. And I was really at that point in real estate where I was like, this isn't making me happy anymore. Like, what is next? And unfortunately, it happened at a time where my real estate career was where I thought I wanted it to be. I was had more time, more money than I thought I would ever have. And I was like, I made it. And then I wasn't happy.
Yeah,
and so, I was like sitting on and at one point it did fulfill me for a long time. Mm-hmm. And nothing had changed other than my heart. So I was sitting on the couch one night watching TV and I was just kind of like having some self-talk. And I was like, what am I going to do with my life? Like, I'm just not happy. I need a change. And I've never had a 9-to-5 job. So I knew that wasn't going to be an option for me. And I was like twirling my lip balm sitting on my couch. And I was like thinking, what can I do? What kind of business can I start? And what am I passionate about? And I looked at the lip balm and I was like, man, I've always had a lip balm with me since I was a little kid. I'm always trying different lip balms, trying to find one that I really care about or one that I like that I want to buy again. And I struggled ever finding a lip balm that I wanted to buy a second time. And by habit or by convenience, I'll buy, you know, the same brand over. But I knew, I'm like, I could start a lip balm. This can't be rocket science. Let's figure this out. And at the time, I was reading a lot about the power of our words and how different sound waves will make plants grow at different rates. And there's a scientist out of Japan, Dr. Emoto, and he did this rice study, he called it. And he took these three jars of rice and he sanitized the jars all the same way, put three scoops of rice in each jar from the same bag and put some water in them all. And then one he put tape on all three of them, and one he wrote love on it, one he wrote hate, and the other jar he didn't write anything on it. And so for 30 days, he'd walk up to this jar and he'd be like, I love you. The other one he'd walk up to be, I'd hate you. The third one he'd walk up and wouldn't say anything, just once a day for 30 days. At the end of the 30 days, the one he said, I love you to, was like white, looked like the day that he put it in there. The one he said, I hate you, that one had turned black, like rotted. And the one he didn't say anything to was kind of brown, mushy type deal. So it was just that physical representation of the power of our words. So I was like, it blew my mind. So then that put me down this rabbit trail of really digging into this and reading all his research and looking at other things. And there's also a water study. And this is the one that really got to me, where these scientists would like pray over water or speak positivity into water. And then they would freeze that instantly. And it would look like these beautiful snowflakes. And then they would do it the opposite. They would say mean things to water and, you know, whatever, negative stuff. And they would freeze it and it would be blobbish and wouldn't look like anything. And then our bodies, depending on the time of the month, were 80, 90% water. And so I was like, if our words have that much power over water, that just tells me if I can give you a compliment or say something kind or nice, that can physically change how your body is made up and how you look and how it affects you. So,
yeah. And another thing that's been talked about a lot is, you know, some people call it haters or naysayers or doubters. Is you take this kind lips thing to essentially the moon, because I know that this is going to be massive for you and I believe in everything you're doing. How do you handle those people that are like, well, you know, this is all about Josh, or this is just a lip balm company where he's trying to make money or selfishly trying to do this? Like, how do you handle that?
I choose to not even really worry about it, to be honest, because if those people knew me and they want to come have a conversation with me, I'm so open to having a conversation with anybody that questions my intention with this. I guess that's how I handle it. If they choose to take the time and energy to actually have a conversation with me, I think that they would understand that my intention is to truly make a difference and have something out there that can be a reminder for people to say something kind. The energy that they take to write something negative online or say something to somebody else, like, have a conversation with me. So I don't have the time to, you know, really worry about what they're saying. But if they want to take the time to have a conversation, I'd love to, like, love on them.
So, okay, so you're reading these books, you're listening to these studies.
Yeah.
You know, you're pretty clear. And I think you were pretty clear before this that, like, hey, that positivity and those positive words make a big difference. So what's the evolution of Kind Lips at that point? You're watching these studies, you're listening to things, you're growing your brain. And then what's next?
Yeah. So in that night where I was twirling the lip balm, I, after, you know, reading all that stuff and it just all kind of hit me, I was like, I'm going to call this Blessed Lips. And I was going to be like prayed over, positivity spoken into this lip balm. And I was going to market it towards Christians or yogis and just kind of the more spiritual side. And it was going to be this niche product and it would be like a fun thing to give me some sort of fulfillment. So that night, my mom had happened to call me after I'd had this thought, and I told her, hey, I'm going to start this lip balm company. It's going to be called Blessed Lips. And she's like, oh, you'll be great at whatever you do, typical mom stuff, and which I really appreciate. So went about my night and thought about, you know, more through Blessed Lips and went to sleep. The next morning at 6 a.m., my phone rings, and it's my mom. And my first thought was, somebody must have died. What's wrong? Why she called me at 6 o'clock in the morning? And she said that she had had a dream, and she'd been up for 3 hours. And she'd been waiting to call me. And she had a dream when my sister and I were young and we would get in fights. You know, I was like 6 and sister would be 8. And I would always try and win the fight. And
Yeah. And
one of the ways I would do it is I would say something mean and try and cut her down. And my punishment was I always had to write sentences because I was a rambunctious kid. And, you know, I'd rather have got
not you.
Yeah. Right. I'd rather have been like got a spanking and then been go play. And, you know, so being the awesome mom that she is, she made me sit down and write sentences. And she made me write, the law of kindness is on my lips. And I'd have to write 50 times. So I hadn't thought about this for 30 some years. And so in this dream, I'm writing these sentences. And every time I wrote kind and lips, she said they were flying off the page at her. And she goes, if you do this lip balm thing, I think you're supposed to call it Kind Lips. And it's for everybody, not just a niche group.
Wow.
And I had the chills go down my spine. And I knew in that moment, I was like, this is something that's I'm supposed to do, and this is bigger than what some little niche project. And I, the first thing I did when I got the phone is I went to GoDaddy, and I typed in kindlips.com, and it was there. And I bought it for, you know, $7-$8 for 2 years, and I was like, this is meant to be.
Yeah, no kidding.
And so, like, you know, even afterwards, I've looked for, like, Kind Elbows or Kind Other stuff. You can't find it.
No.
Now, like, I knew it was just sitting there waiting for me because that's, you know, there's a bigger purpose behind this product. And so after that, then I had to learn, I'm like, now I have to learn how to make lip balm. So I started watching YouTube videos and buying every lip balm I could find, Googling top 10 lists, writing down ingredients, researching what each of the ingredients do. And so I had this legal pad and everything that wasn't natural, organic were crossed off, and just kept whittling it down. And my Fridays and Saturdays, I'd be at home mixing lip balm on the stove.
I love that.
Trying it.
You're now at that point where you're now a scientist.
And yeah.
You're like trying to figure out like
for
what
the first time.
Yeah, for the first time ever with no training.
Yeah.
But that's the power of watching videos on YouTube and things like that. Along the way, up to this point that you're at where you're now starting to mix things and figure things out, what were some of those challenges that you had, and like what was your state of mind through those challenges?
I think I was fortunate enough to be so dumb that I didn't know what my challenges were. So, you know, I think ignorance is bliss in that. So I didn't have any because I had no expectation and nothing, because at that time I'm still doing my real estate career, and that's where that's paying for the bills. So I didn't know what I didn't know. So my challenges at that point were just, okay, now I have to make a formula. How am I going to make this the best formula? And I had to just continue to perfect it and try again and make it harder, make it softer. And then I had my challenges is probably my own self, where I had to come to the realization that I'm never going to make this perfect product, because I'm never perfect and I'm continually growing and changing. And as I change, everything else that I like changes as well. So I just had to be satisfied with having this product where it is and then focus on the mission. And I know I can go back and adjust it later on, which I already did, but yeah.
Yeah, I love that statement about it, the perfection, because I think so many people are on this, you know, are literally trying to make things so perfect that they never get anywhere, right? Like
yeah.
Where they're like stuck in neutral, and it's like we're always trying to be, I mean, I'm hypercritical of myself and everything that we do in our businesses, and I'm always trying to make it perfect. And you know, what I've learned over the last couple of years, and I was never great at this, is like, you just have to ship things. Like you have to get them out.
Yeah.
And like, you can improve them. Like to your point, like you made it better already. So what went from the initial product that you rolled out, like to where it is today, what were some of the modifications that you made to that product?
Yeah. So after I had like the initial formula, I found a manufacturer, I toured a couple different facilities, and I'm like, these are the manufacturer I want to work with. And so they had recreated my formula. Or they use my formula, and I got it. And then I started getting the message out there of what the product is and the mission out there. And people were buying it and liking it. And they were really enjoying what the mission and the mindset behind the product was. So in my mind, I'm like, I can do better, you know. And so I started researching the ingredients again. And I removed one ingredient. I removed sunflower oil, nerdy stuff, just to have and increase the olive oil and shea butter. So I just made it a little bit harder. But I got rid of one ingredient, had better ingredients, and I was going through the USDA organic approval process. And so, yeah.
I love that. And something that you just mentioned right there was the mission. And I think that's so important in anything that you're doing in life. And this is where that passion really comes into, you know, whether you're, you know, whether it's lip balm, whether it's real estate, whatever it may be for you, you have to have some sort of mission on why you're doing it, right?
Yeah.
And so for Kind Lips, like, what is your mission today, and what did you think it was going to be when you first started?
Yeah, so when I first started it, you know, all the self-development stuff, I've learned and to trick myself into habits. And one of the things that I wanted to do is I thought this was going to be a behavior modification tool. And this was just every time someone would grab this tube, they were going to look at it, and it was going to be a reminder for them to say something kind. And that's our hashtag is hashtag say something kind. And I thought that was going to be enough for everybody else. And I'd always known that, you know, the way I was raised, that if I went to church, I had to give 10% of my allowance to church. And that was a big part of me growing up. And even when I got into real estate, that was a big part of me. And I would always give 10% when I made to whether a charity or church. And through my real estate career, I knew that I wanted to give more than 10%. And every time I got a check, I always just ended up giving the 10. And for me to go more than 10, it just couldn't do it. So when I started Kind Lips, I wanted to make sure I was giving back and creating positive change. And so I decided to give 20% of my profit. And I knew if I didn't do that right away and work that into my business model, I couldn't start with 5 or 10 and get up to 20. I had to just go and figure it out. And I won't take a salary if I don't have to type deal, if I have to give whatever I have to do to give the 20%. So I started thinking, what is the best thing that fits with being kind and what's relevant? And anti-bullying or being bullied, kids being bullied, is such a prevalent problem out there in society. So 20% of our profits go to anti-bullying charities.
I love it. The bullying now, I mean, I've got a 9-year-old daughter, Victoria, and you know, just the things that I hear about the way that kids are, you know, the way kids are today is so different than when we grew up with the cyber side of things.
Yeah.
With the social media platforms, with the perception that, you know, certain messages and certain images go away after 10 seconds, and like a lot of the kids think that like you say something and like it just goes away.
Right.
They don't realize the impact of those words, exactly what we're talking about today. I love the mission. Like, I really like every time I talk about it, I get goosebumps because I love what you're doing. What's the future look like for Kind Lips and for your mission? Like, when you feel like, okay, like Kind Lips has made it, what sort of impact have you made on anti-bullying and on the product itself?
Yeah. So I don't know if, from my point of view, if we'll ever make it. So yeah. I don't ever want to stop. I just want to continue to grow it. And I always said it would be awesome to be walking down the streets of New York, going down this, you know, walking down a block, and somebody pulls out a tube of lip balm and it's Kind Lips, and they don't know who I am, and they put it on, and they just give me some random compliment. I'm like, that would be like this life-changing experience. Like, I made it. But one of the things that happened organically when I first started it, a teacher reached out and she ordered like 30 tubes for her classroom, and she asked for a discount because they don't have much of a budget. Yeah, teachers usually like paying with out of their own money to do stuff for their kids. And so I was like, absolutely, I'd love to donate this stuff to your classroom. And she said the kids started reminding each other to put their Kind Lips on when they were like being mean to other kids. And so they started policing themselves. And then the principal found out about it. And the principal's like, hey, this is actually working. Let's do something with this school. So I started getting involved in different schools and marketing this to different schools, and just this little weird program of with lip balm and being this reminder to say something kind, and it started taking off. So then in my mind, I was like, okay, this is really going to have the potential to change behavior. And it's not because it's a lip balm, it's just because it's a reminder, and people want to be good. They want to be kind. They want to receive that kindness. So just having this tube, and I would love to be in every school across the country. And, you know, people are like, you need to get this into middle schools. And in my mind, I was thinking this through. I'm like, yes, middle school is a problem because of the bullying, because of that's when all the cyber stuff starts happening. But I actually, my goal now is to start going into elementary schools, pre-K, you know, first, second, third grade, because that's when, you know, going to school for education, we learn that 80, 90% of what we're going to know our entire lives, we know by the time we're 8, 9 years old. So the earlier that we can teach our kids those proper behaviors and instill those qualities in them, we won't have to worry about middle school or high school because they already know how to act properly and treat people with respect and kindness.
I love this. So what was the hashtag?
Say something kind.
Say something kind. So what I want to do is for, you know, the first 100 people that share this episode on social media, I'll buy 100 tubes of lip balm. And then as long as you put the hashtag in there so we can track it. So the next 100 that are purchased, like we'll take care of that cost and to just help with anti-bullying. And so another part of this that I always find when I interview business leaders and is joy. Like, you've got your product, your product's on your way, but we tend to like not enjoy the ride. Like we're like always like, you just exactly what you mentioned is exactly how I feel. Like, you don't think you'll ever get there. Like, because it's always like, we want to get more. We want to make a bigger impact. So like, what are you doing to like bring joy to your, like to your life and like, and also joy to the business that you're creating?
Yeah. Honestly, right now in this season, I'm just like so enamored with learning. And I'm learning about, I had opportunity to ship a bunch of product to Japan. So I'm like learning about how I'm getting trademarked in Japan and learning about all these different shipping rules. And I can't announce it yet, but I signed a big deal to get some national distribution.
That's so amazing. Congratulations.
And so I'm just learning about how I'm getting all these boxes made and how am I going to get these boxes to the manufacturer and get them filled and get them out. And so there's just so much learning and growth going on that I'm just so fulfilled. My heart's happy. And every day I wake up, not knowing what I'm doing, but knowing that I can figure it out and I'm going to get through it. And I'm not worried about what tomorrow's going to bring because I don't have the time to. I've got enough stuff to worry about today, and that's all I can focus on. I'll worry about tomorrow. And it's just being in the moment. This is really forcing me to just be in the moment and humble myself because I don't know what I'm doing. I've never started a lip balm company, you know, so I'm just waking up one foot in front of the other. When things come up, do the best that I can, and I'm piecemealing this thing together, and it'll eventually just work out, or it won't.
Yeah, it will. But you mentioned, you know, being humble and like that humility is such an important thing to me. I only want to surround myself with people that operate in that fashion. And for you, like, you've had a lot of success, you know, and so how have you been able to, you know, keep your humility at the level that you have and to remain humble? Because I've seen a lot of people, and you have too, that have success in business and turn into complete egomaniacs.
Yeah.
And so what are those things that like that keep you grounded?
I'm going to go back to the opening up the doors, mm-hmm. and it's just continually serving other people and going out of my way. And, you know, one thing it could be because of my personality type, but when I'm walking down the sidewalk, I don't care where it is or how much it is or how big it is. I pick up trash, and I'm never too good to do small things. And I've always just wanted to lead by example. And I just, you know, whatever I can do to make somebody's day better and just constantly, you know, picking one person a day, how can I do something nice for them? And trying to put other people first has kind of kept me focused on, you know, I guess being humble. And I don't even ever think of myself as humble. I just think, how can I like help other people?
Yeah. I love that helping other people. And, you know, you talk about putting people first, and it reminds me of the two different types of leadership where you have like top down leadership, where you have some of the top that's like barking orders and like no one wants to work for that type of organization, that type of person or leader. And then you have like that bottom up, which is exactly what you were talking about, like where you're going to pick up trash next to them. You're going to open those doors. And that's really how you inspire others and create a movement and have others that want to do it with you when you're on the ground level with them. And I think too many leaders make that mistake that like, hey, I'm up here, I'm up above, I'm at the top of the food chain, I'm going to tell you what to do, I don't want to do any work. And people can see that and they can feel it. So in an organization like yours, you know, you're obviously, it's an emerging product. There's also this element of culture that you've developed. And what I love about the culture that you've developed is like people always think that like you have to have all these employees or you have to have this company to have culture. You've created this culture at your company, and they're not even your employees. Explain to me like how this is sort of this product and this movement has started to take like a life of its own. Like what types of things are starting to happen?
Yeah. I mean, well, the school movement has been really cool to see that. And I just finished up a school, gave them to, I've been trying to learn and grow how to implement this school program. And the last school I did, I went in and spoke to these teachers. First, I'd never done this before, so I went and met with the 60 teachers that were there, told them about my experience with student teaching and why, you know, when I was student teaching, half the teachers didn't go to the teacher's lounge because they didn't want to talk to the other teachers. And so in this conversation, and I didn't even really have this plan, but I was like, I knew in that moment I felt like I was still in high school, even though I was a teacher. And that was an environment that I want to be in. And I challenged the teachers. I said, how can you expect the students in your high school in middle school to act like adults and treat each other with kindness when the teachers can't even treat each other with kindness? And, you know, there's kind of like a stab right in the heart to all of them because they knew what was going on. And then I gave them all the kind lips and kind of gave them the message. And what I got so many emails from these teachers saying, we've been reminding each other as a staff, like over the last week, 2 weeks, month, and this has continued to go on, like, oh, if somebody's gossiping, you better put your kind lips on. And no one can get mad at the tube of lip balm. You know, you're just saying, hey, go put your kind lips on if you're being a jerk type deal. And then people just see it on their desk. And so they've gone out of their way to give other people compliments. And they said it's really changed the culture within the teaching staff. And I've had that same feedback. I've heard of similar stories from people that, you know, bought 30 or 40 of them for their workers and everyone had them on their cubes. And it's changed the culture in their workplace. So that's the stuff where I'm really excited to see it get on people's lips and truly make a difference. And just a little tube of lip balm that sits there and just remind people to be nice.
I love it, man. It's so smart what you're doing.
It's so simple. I'm not smart enough to come up with anything complicated. So, I mean, I think the simplicity of this is it is a beautiful how simple it is, but it's out of lack of intelligence, not from being so smart.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, you know what I mean? You're doing such a great job. And I love surrounding myself with people like yourself that are doing things that are making a huge difference in the world. And that's what I love about what you just said is it doesn't have to be that complicated. I think a lot of times, like, we feel like to make an impact, it has to be some, like, you know, crazy idea or some crazy movement to actually make traction. Like, every single person that you help, if it was one person, that's one more person than there was before.
Right.
And I think too often as leaders, like, we're too scared because, like, oh, only 20 people viewed that video that I wanted to do this to help that. Like, that's 20 more people than you would have had if you didn't do it.
Yeah.
Another thing that you mentioned was, like, that stuck with me is when you talk about, like, you know, the way that the teacher's lounge was and that experience, and like, how are you supposed to lead students and lead others when your actions are different? And what we always say in our company is, like, it's not the words, it's the actions. Cause you can say whatever you want, but, like, if you show up as someone completely different, people can feel it.
Right.
Anything that you're thinking privately is going to show up publicly. Like, you can feel it, like, you can see it. And so I love that you walked into that environment and challenged them to be better, because I had the same experience when I was student teaching, and I have the highest level of respect for teachers. And
absolutely,
I think it's a very difficult job, and they make a huge impact in this world. But there is that dramatic side to the teacher lounge and to, you know, you let the kids out 1 minute too late or too early. And, like, there are all sorts of other challenges than just the students and helping them become, you know, better students and better leaders and better people. And that words versus actions, I think, is something I would challenge everyone on, because, you know, some people are going to hear this podcast and they're going to be really inspired by what you shared today. And they're going to go out and they're going to say those things,
mm-hmm,
and they're not going to live them and do them. And so I would challenge everyone that's listening. Like, it's not what Josh is saying today. It's actually what you're doing. Like, I watch your actions that, like, I watch exactly what you do. I watch your body language. I watch everything. And I know exactly why it is so successful. That what you're doing is because of, like, your actions, like, that you're actually stepping through and you're showing up to that school and you're making an impact for those teachers. And you're not sure why you even said it, but you did. And now they're putting that lip balm on their lips. And now they're, like, reminding other teachers, like, hey, it's a moment to be kind. Like, that's a huge movement. And I've never been in an environment like what you just explained. I always think of culture as, like, being in our organization and you have to feel it. And it's fascinating to me that you're growing this, like, culture that, like, is happening, like, outside of your world. And it's, like, it's just, like, almost happening organically at this point.
It's, like, all organic. I mean, like, I had no idea that this was going to change behavior in the business, in the workplace. I was even, you know, when the student thing came up, I was like, oh, I can see this working for kids. But when it started having an effect on adults, that's when I was like, wow, this is way bigger than anything I could have ever thought of or come up with.
Yeah. So now where you are today, so you're 2 years into this movement right now, and what, looking back now, what was, like, the biggest surprise of the whole thing? Like, what was one thing where you're like, oh, I was completely miscalculated, or I didn't think that this was going to happen? Like, what was that moment, like, where you're like, wow, I didn't expect that? Everything that's happened in Kind Lips, what is that one moment like?
That's tough to answer because I haven't had any expectations. And I really feel like, and as hard as that is to do, I mean, that's something that I've, you know, there's areas of my life where I struggle with having expectations.
Yeah.
And I've been on this, you know, this last 15 years where I've been trying to learn not to have expectations. So with Kind Lips, because there isn't a standard, there isn't anything that I've gone through, I don't know what to expect. So there isn't anything that's come up. I've been unexpectedly surprised with good things that have happened and that have, you know, come about, but nothing negative or nothing's been that hard. And, you know, I think with anything, whether it's doing good or starting a business, it's just doing something, getting one foot in the door. And I have a good friend, and he was going to remodel his house. And he's like, I just don't know where to start. And I'm like, get a contractor, because, you know, don't waste your time, because that's what I would do.
Right.
That's my lens, my perspective.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I got to save money. I'm going to do it myself. And I'm like, he's like, I just don't know what to do. And I'm like, take a hammer, throw it in the wall. And he's like, what? I'm like, just throw it in the wall. And so he called me the next day. He's like, I just tore down two walls. He's like, I just threw a hammer in the wall, and, like, there was a big hole in the wall, so I had to start. And I think that's the hardest part in a lot of people. We have these ideas, we have these good intentions, and just do something. And momentum builds more momentum. So just, you know, put your foot in the door, start, do one kind act, say one kind thing, open up one door for somebody. And what I think what's happened in my own life is it became an addiction. And even to the point where at one point I questioned myself from I wanted to give more to everybody. I wanted to do more kind things because it got to be such a high for me. I almost felt bad about doing nice stuff for people because I enjoyed it so much. And what a funny thing to question yourself for, you know, were your intentions. I was questioning my intentions because I love doing nice things for people. Mm-hmm. And good problem to have. So
great problem. You mentioned this is great. So you mentioned momentum. Momentum, I think, is the key to success in pretty much anything in life. And when you have those small wins, and like you had mentioned that, you know, that one kind word, that one kind thing and those small things that you're sharing, it releases that dopamine. And like all of a sudden, like you have this just like huge surplus of like positive energy and,
yeah.
and positive overtaking. And I love like I am so focused on doing those same things. And I love that you share that, because if you look at like the momentum that you've created, there's no it's no accident why you are where you are today. It's because of that momentum. Like you have that momentum right now. Here's the challenge. How do you keep it going?
Wake up every day and just do the best that I can. And I really feel like for this product, for where I'm at in life right now, that's all I have to do. And if my heart is in the right place, which I know that it is, I think doors are going to open up. Like you said, people are going to feel that. They're going to know the heart and the mission behind it is true. And the intention of the product is really to make the world a better place. And people want to get behind that. So,
man, I love everything you're sharing. And I think so many people are going to find what you're sharing today helpful. So thank you for being here.
Yeah.
12 months from now, you keep saying you don't have any expectations or whatever, but at some point you have to like, okay, like here's where I want to be. Here's where I'm going. Like I have some sort of target.
Yeah. My goal is honestly, I believe that this is going to be the largest lip balm in the world. And I think that it's, you know, so I know I've got my work cut out for me to get there. And there's my manufacturer makes a million tubes a day for multiple different brands. So, you know, I think I've sold about 50,000 tubes in the last year. So I've got my work cut out for me. I think that I'm going to continue to grow distribution. I think I'm going to continue to learn about the logistics of this is crazy. And I have no idea what I'm doing. So I'm just going to be on this path. I think a year I'm going to look back and be like, how the heck did I learn this? And where did this all, you know, where, how did I get here? I'm already looking at that right now, you know, where I was a year ago, just starting a website, you know, to being where I'm actually going across the country and having distribution in 3,500 locations. So, I think it's going to continue to grow, but a year ago, I wouldn't have expected to grow this fast. So it could exponentially grow out of my expectation or, you know, I have no idea where it's going. I just hope it continues to make a difference and yeah.
Yeah, the continuing to make the difference is what drives most people. I've rarely found that it's just about the product, and that's why I was so interested in your mission and anti-bullying. What have been some surprising, you know, emails and texts and phone calls you received from people that you didn't even know that your product was impacting? Like where you're like, wow, I had no idea that our product just did that.
Yeah. There's been quite a few students who reached out from all over the country. I've had Texas, I've had, you know, Illinois, Seattle, that I get these emails from people and they're like, we bought this, we gave it to our classroom and like people started being kind. And one of the coolest things I got was a mom that had reached out and she's like, I put this on my kids' lips every night before they go to bed. And we talk about how important their words are and how important it is being kind. And that's our nightly routine. And stuff like that really is, you know, made a big difference for me. Or it's that motivation to keep going. And I think it's still like a drop in the bucket. But those are the cool things that I've seen. And along with even the cool things that, you know, on the surface, it might not look like a positive. But I remember there was a march after that school shooting in Florida. So there's a march on at the Capitol here. And Bailey, who helps with social media, she had taken some photos and posted them online about this march. And it was about gun control. And I had a couple different people reach out on our social media and they're like, is Kind Lips anti-gun? And I was like, first of all, we've got 500 followers. Who cares? I was like, second of all, Kind Lips isn't a thing. It's just, you know, I never had thought of it as like its own living organism. And I didn't respond right away. And I kind of thought about it, and because I had pretty much three similar messages. And I responded to everybody. I said, we don't support guns or a ban on guns. We support people. And we're here loving people. We want to take care of them. And if there's a pro-gun, we'll be there too, taking photos. If it's something people are passionate about and they're not hurting anybody, we want to be there to just love on people and let them know that we're here and that they matter. And that was like, even though it started as a negative, it was a really positive for me. So
yeah, what a smart way to look at things. Because I think we do start to get like, you know, polarizing on so many of these hot topics. And, you know, what I found is like, we don't even really have enough facts to know like why we have an opinion.
Yeah.
Like, it's just fascinating how many people get so amped up, and it's social media too, where everyone gets, you know, all crazy about something. And then like, when you look back and you take like that 30,000 foot view, it's like, what was the purpose of all of that?
Right.
And I think we forget exactly what you said is like, we love and we support people. Like, that's what everything in life should be about. It shouldn't be if like you're on this side or that side of politics or this hot topic issue. And I think we've forgot over the years, like why this country became what it became is because really it was about the people. And now social media, and especially like this anti-bullying, everything that's happening is the anti-bullying isn't just the kids at this point. I mean, it's all levels of our society. And to your point about those messages you received, like, there's an element of bullying that's happening just on that topic alone.
Absolutely.
Like, and it's, so we're our actions as parents and as leaders and as elders, we're training our kids to be bullies through cyber. And they hear our conversations, they see our actions, and everyone listening has, you know, the ability to change that today. And I think like, if we want our country to be in a better place, like, we have to step up with our actions and our words. And I love and honor everything that you're doing, because there aren't a lot of people that are talking about this right now, but I know that most people that are listening right now can name probably something that happened in the last few hours that was some sort of, you know, bullying case, whether it, you know, been on social, been on internet, email, whatever it may be. Like, they happen everywhere. And it's getting really disgusting that like how we treat each other. We have this moment where like our world needs more leaders, and we need more people that care about people and love on people. And we're at a pivotal moment in this country where we need people to step up like in a big way. And I honor you for what you're stepping up. So people listening, like, how can they help? You know, how can they help you?
Well, how they can help, well, I guess the first thing on my mind right now is that in our culture right now, it is easy to call out other people for being bullies. And I think the best thing that we can do is when we're calling out other people for being bullies, or we're like, you know, saying stuff or saying something negative towards somebody, we're actually doing the action that we're trying to stop.
We're a bully. We're bullying them. Yeah.
So I think the biggest thing that people can do is just work on themselves and focus. And we can blame it on the president. We can blame it on whoever else, our boss or whoever. And it's like, you have to start with doing it. And you have to worry about yourself, focus on yourself, and then everybody else will start hopefully learning from you. And challenge everybody, and don't cast that first stone. So I think that's my request from people is just focus on themselves and be nice, lead by example.
Be nice and lead by example. Those are just critical things in any sort of leadership role. And I think people always think that like leadership means that you're actually like own or run a company. Leadership can mean so many different things. Like, it can mean a teacher, it can mean a parent, a spouse, a friend, a family member. I mean, there are so many different forms of leadership today. And I love that what you just said right there, because it's like it all stops with us, like starts and stops with us. It's like self responsibility. Like we all have the same hours in a day, and we have the same responsibility to do these things. And I worry that a lot of people, like you said, whether it's the president, a senator, whatever it is for you or your boss, like you had mentioned, I worry that too many people are putting the blame on others, and we're not looking at in the mirror and saying, you know what? This starts and stops with me. And I hear it all the time when I talk to people, is like, they always want to blame someone else, you know, and no one's really willing to get real and look in that mirror and say, you know what, I need to show up as a better person. And that's like leadership to a T, is like, if we're going to lead others, like, they have to see that we're trying to get better too. Like, it can't just be this, you know, this situation where it's like, okay, I need you to do this, I need to do that, I want you to, you know, stop bullying, anti-bullying. But like, if you're doing that right now, like it's hard for them to follow along. And that's the beauty about leadership and what you had mentioned earlier. And it's that bottom up leadership where you're marching right along everyone else and you're loving and caring for people and it becomes infectious.
Yeah.
And like when I found when I surround myself with people like that, I want to be a better person too. And so you mentioned about like, you know, the self, you know, development and the personal development and the work on yourself. Like what kind of things can people that are listening right now that might be in a bad place, might be struggling, you know, might be unsure, might have some doubt, maybe some negative self-talk. What are some simple things that you could give for recommendations that, you know, just little baby steps that could help them get out of that bad place and into a better spot?
Yeah. Well, one of the easiest things, and I think you mentioned earlier, is just do something for somebody else. Service. So whether it is just opening up that door, just little small things that, you know, you get a smile from somebody and you get that dopamine shot and it makes you feel good. I think finding some books that, you know, you might enjoy reading. I mean, one of the books that impacted my life the most is called The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. And it wasn't anything rocket science and it was a real easy read, but it just like really opened up my perspective on how my actions affect other people and how I allow other people's actions to affect me. And at the end of the day, what everybody else does or says really doesn't matter. They're going about their life. They're going home to their family and they're going to do their own thing. And we can't allow other people's thoughts and actions to really affect us. And we're responsible for our own thoughts and actions. So I think at the end of the day, it's giving yourself, loving yourself, taking time to really think about what you want, what makes you happy. Know yourself. I think that really is probably the best advice I can be is learn about yourself. Figure out what you need to do to take care of yourself to make you happy, whether it's go to the zoo, sit at home and read, go out with friends. Everybody's different. That's why this world is beautiful to me because I don't want anybody else to be like me. I think that's why everybody is different. One of my favorite examples is that my stepfather, he's 45 years old. He's worked at Cubs since he was 16, and he started stocking shelves when he was 16 years old, and he is still stocking shelves. He's had the opportunity to be in management. He's had the opportunity to do other stuff. He doesn't want to do it. He really feels comfortable stocking shelves, and that's his role. And if we didn't have people like him to show up at work every day, go and stock shelves, I wouldn't be able to grocery store and buy stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I love the fact that he is the way that he is because that's how the world turns around. And that's why everybody can be. Him doing his job helps me be successful. And if we can all pull up our sleeves, do our job, figure out what do we want to do, what makes us happy and do it, the world's going to be an awesome place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you shared so many great takeaways there that are going to make an impact to so many. The one that stuck out to me was just smile. You know, just putting a smile on your face and going places and smiling and have people are smiling around you, like it puts you in a different mood.
Yeah.
Like just by smiling and you know, I love the self-responsibility, which you just mentioned again. It's getting real with yourself and understanding yourself is exactly what you said. Like you have to look in the mirror and you know, write some things down. And some of these things are super challenging. And a lot of people are walking around with a mask on,
yeah.
You know, and it's time to take the mask off and get real. Yeah. You know, I think that everyone deserves a better life. You know what? Some people are just scared, but I'm telling you, I've been on a similar path to you. Like I focus so much on personal development and trying to become a better person, a better leader for everyone in my life that's counting on me. And the breakthroughs that I've seen personally and how I understand myself, they're significant. Like it's the best ROI in the world to invest in yourself. Because if you can't invest in yourself and you're not a good person, you can't take care of anyone else, you can't lead, you can't inspire anyone else. And those things are things that will pay dividends forever.
Absolutely.
Like it's in... You know, I love everything that you shared today, and I hope that people really take some of this stuff seriously. And some of them are really simple things. And by no means do I have it figured out or Josh has it figured out. Like, this is a constant journey, and I have my hiccups and moments where I'm like, why did you do that? You know, and it's a constant battle. Like, we're human beings. But I know that there are a lot of people that we're connected to on this podcast and that follow our, you know, our businesses and that are parents, that are teachers. Like, how do we get them involved? Like, how do we get them involved in the Kind Lips movement? Like, what are some things that like they could do to help really take this Kind Lips movement and help educate kids and people in our society to be kinder to others, not just buy the product, but like, how do we get involved with you? Like, how do we reach out to your organization? How do we start to make an impact?
Yeah. Well, go to our website is just kindlips.com. you know, and there's contact information on there, josh@kindlips.com. One of the cool things, I want to go back to the school system, is when the students get their lip balm, they get this little card that talks about what Kind Lips is, and we do like a challenge, whether they have to write a kind comment on a tiger pond, post it on a window, and or there's a social media thing where kids can get in the habit of speaking kind words about other kids on social media, since that is one of the areas of bullying. And then so the kids that get the kind words said about them, they have the joy of having a kind word said about them and then called out in front of their peers. So then also along with that, the schools are sending home an email and or letter to the parent saying, hey, your kids got this tube of lip balm and this is why. And here's some questions to talk to your kids about. Are they being bullied? Here's the power of their words. And so trying to create that interaction at home between the parents and the students. And because, you know, one teacher has 100, 150 students every day. And the parents want to look at the school system and be like, they're not raising my kids right. And I'm kind of want to say, I want these parents, they should be the ones that are having these conversations with their kids at home one-on-one. And I think that's where the real change is going to come. So, you know, if it takes a tube of lip balm to remind a parent to have that conversation with their kid, go to the website and buy it. Otherwise, have that conversation with your kid. And I think, you know, everybody can take the onus and just start with themselves and their own family. And then, but in terms of Kind Lips, I mean, however they want to be involved, if there's parent-teacher organizations that, you know, want to use it for a fundraiser, I'm starting to do fundraisers. Anybody that knows stores, boutiques, I mean, I'm open to wherever. There isn't a person that I know, including myself, that doesn't need a reminder to be more kind.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that is so good, you know, and I love the cause of this whole anti-bullying and to encourage people to be more kind. And yeah, and like you said, you need reminders. I need reminders, like we all do. Like there are moments where we all act like idiots,
yeah,
including myself, like, and I kick myself for it, but I try to be a better person every day. And I think those subtle reminders are so important. And I love, you know, I just love that, like, starting young, right? Like starting with like kids and helping them become better people. And I hope that some of the people that are listening to this podcast reach out to you to really, you know, to really make an impact and to take initiative to help, you know, not only their kids, if they have kids, or their neighbors or friends or family or teachers, or, I mean, this can apply to your company, to your business, to anyone.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone can be better. And if we all get better together, we have a better society. Everything is way better.
And I think to add on to that, because I don't know if I've had that question, so thank you. I think anybody that this strikes, you know, a thought, or they might want to reach out, because I don't know exactly what I'm doing and I'm still trying to figure this out. So if you have an idea or a thought, let's talk about it together and we can figure it out.
Yeah, I love that. You're so funny. You know what you're doing. Wow. you're so humble. But yeah, reach out to I mean, you know, you're all for creative projects, right? Like, and for Josh, and he won't obviously say this, but I will for him, like, it's all about making a difference and, like, really impacting people. And so I don't think there's really a project that you would probably say no to, like, if it's making an impact.
If it was, you know, one of the ideas I would really like to work on that I was, and I approached a county sheriff about this that I know, and I was like, how can I, like, you know, all the cop culture right now in the media is, like, they're just bad. And everybody's, you know, no one wants to have an interaction with a police officer. And I was thinking, like, what if a police officer, every time they pulled somebody over and had a good interaction, they gave somebody a tube of Kind Lips, and there was, like, a, you know, something on social media where the person can take a picture with the cop and the tube of lip balm and post it online saying, had this good interaction, to try and create that difference between, to bridge that gap, so there would be, people would be happy when they get pulled over. And then I was thinking it through and I was like, well, if the cops know that they have the opportunity to give someone that Kind Lips when they pull them over, maybe they will approach that situation differently, because they know they're going to want to have a positive interaction with that person that they pull over, so that they can give them the tube of Kind Lips and actually make them smile instead of always giving them a ticket and making, you know, their day worse. So it was like, just like thinking through things like that. So, yeah, I think that something like that would be cool out of the box.
We have so many things in this world that we're in those moments where things are, you know, are negative, or the culture or perspective of, like, a certain occupation isn't quite right, and where things like Kind Lips can make such a huge difference. That's why I like exactly what you're doing, because there really is no limit to how big of an impact you can make. It almost becomes overwhelming.
Yeah.
Because you can really help everyone.
Totally.
I'm fascinated by everything you've done. I'm really proud of where you are today and where you're going. What are final thoughts that you have for people that are, you know, aspiring to their dreams, or they're emerging as business leaders and they're trying to become better people? Like, you have so much wisdom. What are the final thoughts that you want to share with them that just like will help them get to that next level?
I think for me, I have to wake up every day knowing that I'm going to try and do my best. And I know ahead of time that I'm going to screw up. I'm going to fail. But I give myself the grace when that happens, and I don't get stuck on my failures. I just keep going. And I know that tomorrow I'm going to probably say something dumb or do something dumb, but I know it's going to get better. My goal is just to get better every day. Whether it's a little bit or a lot, is just continue to wake up, do the best that I can, and try and be better. And I know that I'm never going to be as good as I want to be, but I'm never going to stop trying to be that good.
That's so great. I hope everyone really wrote that down and took that to heart. We talk about all the time, like, those failures are those learning moments where you continue to get better. And with that, you know, it's increasing, you know, and improving your self-talk from negative to constructive to positive, because we spend the most time with ourselves.
Yeah.
And like, I'm so hard on myself. Like, and it's like, I would never, you know, when I look back to 3-4 years ago, I would never talk to anyone the way that I talk to myself. And I love what you shared there, because I think those words will make such an impact for so many. So I wanted to thank you for being here. And just one final thought that I mentioned in the middle, and I want to make sure everyone caught it, is what was the hashtag?
Say something kind.
Say something kind. So the next 100 tubes of lip balm, we're going to take care of it, the Behind the Billboard podcast. So all you have to do is just post something about this podcast. You can actually grab the link to share this podcast episode and make sure to include that hashtag, because that's how we'll go back and be able to track that you shared the podcast. And we'll search for that hashtag. And then the next 100 people, we're going to pick up the lip balm for them, because we truly believe in what we're doing. And I hope that you do something kind, you know, with that lip balm, whether you take that tube of lip balm that you receive, and maybe you don't even use it. Maybe you give it to someone else you think they could use it and could help them become more kind. But I'm all in on this movement. I love everything you're doing, Josh. Thanks so much for being here. I know you're a busy guy, and I think this was really impactful for so many.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Yep. Thank you.
If you loved this episode, give us a great review, subscribe, and share us socially so we can spread the word and build a community of difference makers. And if there's a leader who inspires you, send your suggestions for future guests to Chris's team at behindthebillboard.com so we can get better.